Our world is facing some huge problems. There's a lot of talk about how to solve them. But talk doesn't reduce poverty or bring transformation. This conference is about breeding a generation of wealth creators and world changers. That takes doing.
Welcome to the second day of our Wealth Creation Conference. God bless you. Thank you all for coming. Are you excited? Are you happy to be here tonight? Bless you, 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 bless you. All right. Tonight we want to look at something which is not different from yesterday's topic. They are somehow connected in terms of the areas that are going to be addressed by the same topics, though they seem to be different. But what we need to understand tonight is, you know, we have many questions in life, and it is not every question that is answered. And most of the questions that we have, the reason why we don't seem to get answers, it is also not always because answers are not there, but in most cases answers that we get are not favorable. The answers that we are getting are not favorable answers. So in as much as you have questions, I've realized that as long as the answers are not right, are not good, are not preferable, you end up continuing searching for better answers until you find an answer that pleasures you, that excites you. Until again you realize that it wasn't the most ideal answer, and then you continue searching again, and you continue searching again, you continue searching again. But since we are talking about wealth creation, we need to understand right from the beginning that wealth, it is an act of creation. Wealth has to be created. Wealth can be created, and wealth was created. Wealth was created right from the book of creation, the book of Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth, and everything contained within the globe was created by God. But before it was created, it was a thought in the mind of God. So a thought always come before creation. God thought about it and then he created. It is important for all of us to understand that anything that you don't have can be created. It can be created. The work of creation did not end in the book of Genesis. It started in the book of Genesis. And it still continues. We are created by the Creator to behave and to be like Him and to act like Him in the sense of creating. When God was creating whatever it is that He created, and then He finally created us in His image so that we appear like Him, and in His likeness so that we act like Him. If our God, if our Creator is a creative God, and then He designed us in that same design, it means we are also capable of creating as well. What we don't have is what we are not willing to create. We are creators because we are like our Father. Just to think that there was a time when God didn't have the earth and He wasn't poor simply because of what He didn't have. There was a moment when God didn't have the earth. Understand that, please. There was a time when God didn't have the earth. And yet still He wasn't poor. So poverty is never determined by what you don't have. No. No. You see, the difference between the poor and the rich, it is not the money that the rich have. It's not money. It's not money that defines the poor and the rich. The difference between a poor person and a rich person, it is never money. Their difference is in what they value. Their difference is in what they value. Their priorities and their perspective, their view of life. What do they consider to be the most important thing? The poor and the rich. Their difference is not in how much they have or they don't have. The difference between the rich and the poor, it is in what they have chosen to place value on. What you choose to value determines whether you are rich or poor, whether you have billions of money in your bank account. If money is the most valuable thing that you have, then you are the poorest person because life is more important than money. Yes, life is more important. If money becomes more valuable than life, it means you can kill for money. So you are not a blessed person, you are not a rich person, you are a poor person with money. So what makes you rich, what makes you blessed, is the definitions, the correct definitions of life. What do you value the most? What do you regard to be the most important thing in your life? If it is money, then you are the poorest person. Whether you get it, you become the poorest person. Because there are so many things that are more valuable than money. Many things. Many things. Many things. The Bible teaches us that a good name is to be preferred above money, above riches, above silver, above gold. A good name, 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 has to be preferred. If you look at that particular chapter, he's not saying just to have a good name and don't have money. No, he's saying have a good name so that a good name will bring money into your life. You read the entire chapter. Read the entire chapter. He's not saying if you go for a good name, you have to sacrifice money. You see, he's not saying choose one. He's saying prefer a good name first. And then the rest of the scriptures, if you analyze them, is talking about creating a brand, having a good name. And it is now because of a good name that money will begin to flow into your life. So a good name has to be preferred than riches. And he's not saying riches are nothing. No, have a good name, and by having a good name, you will attain riches. So it is important for us to understand that having a good name, it is a good thing. Work towards having a good name. A good name, we'll talk about that. Having a good name. Having a good name. It is important to have a good name. But also that depends with where you come from, your background, your home area, people that are surrounding you, what do they also value? Do they really value money, or do they really value a good name? Because in life you can have a good name, but without money, no one is willing to listen to you. It is a problem again. It's a very, 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 very big problem. Okay. So let's understand this. It's very important. A good name is to be preferred above riches. A good name has to be preferred above riches. But we are not motivated by our culture to go for the good name. Because they will never come to your house and to have a party simply because you have had a good name for the past 60 years. It's not what people admire, so would rather go for money. Because if you have money, they will admire you, they will call you, they will come to your place, they would want to talk to you because you have money. Maintain a good name, they will never come to you. So it's because of that situation that we end up preferring money above a good name. Because no one really admires a good name. But work towards that and achieve a good name. But I'm taking you somewhere now, because before God created the earth had already existed in his mind. It was there, complete, already created and in existence, but in his mind. Because you can never, for once in your entire lifespan, produce or bring out anything that was never found inside of you. What you give is what you have. Every person brings out what is inside of him. You will bring out what is inside of you. If it is never inside of you, it can never be outside of you. So the earth was in the mind of God. It was a thought. The creation of the earth was once a thought. God had an idea. He said, I've got an idea. He thought about it. I want to create earth. It was in the mind of God. And what we need to talk about now is something very important. I don't know how you're going to look at it. Something very important from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, and verse number 23. Let me just read it for you, and then we move on. Chapter 4, verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart, or guard your heart, or protect your heart, or secure your heart with all diligence, because of just one reason. It is only out of your heart where life flows from. Issues of life, issues of life, issues of life, issues of life. are coming from your heart. Issues of life are coming from your heart. There are so many parts of your body that are so delicate, so special, so important. But there's only one scripture in the Word of God that is encouraging you to protect that one part, which is your heart. And because how the rest of the parts are maintained, it is determined by the condition of that one part, your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart. Tell your neighbor, your heart. And by the heart, Solomon is not talking about whether it's David or whoever it was, but he's not talking about that blood pumping organ. He's talking about your mind. Which means protect your mind with all diligence, for out of your mind are the issues of life. Which means your mind produces what you have right now. Your mind, everything that you have now was produced by your heart, your mind. And I'm going to say something tonight which I know I'm not going to be able to finish, but since we are still here, I'll work on it. Your mind is very important. I remember one day I was standing over there, I told you about the heart of Saul. How Saul was brought into the presence of the prophet. And Samuel looked at him and he said, I will have to eat with you today. You will not go back home until I release you. That's what he said. You will not go back home until I let you go. I've got some issues that I want to address. But as for the donkeys, they are already found. Don't worry about the donkeys. I need more time to explain to you everything that is in your heart. And this is a prophet. He knows what exactly is in his heart. And then he was looking for donkeys. That's what he thought was in his heart. And then the prophet is saying, as for the donkeys, don't worry about the donkeys, but I will tell you all that is in your heart. And all that he thought was in his heart were the missing donkeys. I want to introduce something here. I know I just gave you an appetizer. Now we need to get into the heart. We need to understand. Because the Bible teaches me that there is a place for silver and there is a place where gold is extracted. But the question that I want to pose tonight before we get anywhere further, listen, is this. In your entire life, entire body, entire structure, where exactly is poverty situated? We need to investigate this tonight. Let's talk about it. Okay, let's talk about this. Because you don't have anything in your life that is not given a place in your life. Anything that you have occupies a place. That's why you have it. If it is poverty, it has a place that was given, allocated to it. That's why you say you have it. You can't say you have it if you don't have it. For you to have it, you have to have it. It has to be found somewhere. We need to investigate where poverty stays and what makes it to survive within your body. Poverty, poverty, poverty. I hate this thing. I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't know about you, but I hate it. I don't want to see it. My God, my God, my. It's a virus. It's an infection. It's cancerous. Very toxic. You cannot worship God properly when you are broke. It's not a good thing. It's not. But where does it stay? Is it in your physical body? Is it in your spiritual body? One thing that is certain is poverty is there. It is there. Because for us then to correct the situation, the place has to be known. It has to be discovered. It has to be exposed. The place where it stays, it has to be exposed. That's why when you visit your doctor, unless if you are unconscious, but if you visit your doctor, before he begins, he starts treating, he is going to ask you, what's the problem? Yes, you have pain, but where exactly do you have it? Because there is a location, there is a place. You have it, you don't want it, but there is a place that it occupies. And identifying the place, it makes it easy whether for the prophet or for the doctor to really help you. We need to discover where poverty is accommodated in the lives of people. He's going to ask you, what's wrong? If you say, I've got pain, the next question is obvious. Where do you have it? And you are never going to say, the pain is in my wardrobe. You'll never say that the pain is in my pillow. Which means your problem is never outside of you. Your poverty, it can manifest outwardly, but it is never from outside in. It's coming from inside of you out. Your pain in life has a place somewhere in your physical body or in your spiritual body. And that's what we are here to talk about. Where exactly is it? Because there is a place for silver and there is a place for gold. Surely there has to be a place for poverty. There is poverty in people's lives, but where does it stay? 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 So now you see Saul never thought of becoming a politician. He's worried about his donkeys. If I can only find my father's donkeys, that's all. That's my mission, that's my purpose, that's my goal. If I can find my father's donkeys, then I will return, I'll go back and say to my father, I have achieved. And he thought that was all that was in his mind, in his heart. And the prophet said, there is something that you're not aware of. I'm going to tell you everything that is in your heart. And what he was told was that he was supposed to become a politician. You are looking for the donkeys, but you are carrying what Israel is looking for. You have it, but you're not aware. You have it. You have it. Imagine the king of Israel was found looking for donkeys. The king of Israel. Look at what he is doing and what he is supposed to be doing. Where you are and where you're supposed to be. Totally different. You're far away from what you're supposed to be doing. Very far away. But the prophet said, come, I will have to eat with you and tell you everything that is in your heart. And when he heard about what was in his heart, it was his first time to hear that. How could he have thought of becoming a politician, like especially in Israel, becoming the captain, the king? There was no king before him. No ambition, no inspiration, no expectation. But it was already put inside of him by God. Now listen to me now. Listen to me. Listen to me. When we talk about your mind, we are talking about the most sensitive part of your body. Listen to me. I'm not here to talk about your brain. There's a difference between your brain and your mind. Every time you hear about the mind, what you think is your brain. Your mind is not your brain. Understand this, please. I want to show you something. Every time you hear about your mind, what you think of is your brain. That whitish thing that you have seen. There's a difference between your brain and your mind. Your brain is one, but your mind is divided into two. That's what we'll need to talk about. Listen to me now, because if a person is poor, listen to me. If a person is poor and he has been poor and he remains poor, there is a lecture that was given to him by somebody or by something. You are trained. You can't be a professional poor person unless there are lessons, proper training and coaching, and having the right mentors on how to maintain it. There are lessons that are supposed to be observed for poverty to be maintained. And the information that keeps poverty in one's life is given to him, not into his hands, but into his mind. Now, look at this. Look at this. If you miss this, I know whatever comes after this, you're going to miss it again. Listen to me now. There is a mind which is the most important. I know Jesus is the greatest gift that was given by God, but also Jesus is applicable to sensible people as well. Okay. God gave you a mind. He gave you a mind. Not just brain, he gave you a mind. Now, what is happening is this. I want to just introduce something here. I don't know if I'm going to work it out very well tonight. Listen, your mind is divided into two. Some of the people, this information, you see, when I'm giving you something that I've discovered, it's me that has discovered, but I also listen to other people. Okay? I listen, I gather information from different sources, as long as the information is authentic. It's very important for me. It's also very important for you. Listen to me now. Your mind is divided into two. You have a conscious mind. You have a subconscious mind. A conscious mind and a subconscious mind. A conscious mind and a subconscious mind. A conscious mind and a subconscious mind. There was a reason. I remember one day I tried to demonstrate it to you here, how the mind works. And I did a clear demonstration some few months ago just to prove to you that The reason why you are going through what you are going through, it is because of the way your mind is conditioned. If you can change the conditioning of your mind, you can change your entire environment. Your mind, if you see, he's talking about guarding jealously, diligently your heart, your mind. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. For out of your heart flows out the issues of life. Issues of life is talking about passage, exit. It's talking about escape. It's talking about the border. That word issue there is the border. That's the crossing line. For one person to move from poverty into prosperity, it takes the conditioning of his mind. Out of your mind flows the issues of life. Your life is from your mind. Your life is never from your education. Listen to me, it is from your mind. There's a difference between education and mind. Please understand. We'll get to that. Listen, I've seen educated people broke in every aspect of life. Educated, but very broke. Very broke. They have been to school, educated, taught, informed, enlightened, and yet still they don't seem to make it in life, because there is a level of the mind that only the Holy Spirit can help you to access. There is a subconscious mind. That's the mind that you are aware of. That's the most active. It is so active, hands-on. Conscious mind is the mind that you are using now, and you know that you are using it because you are conscious of it. Your conscious mind. Conscious mind. The conscious mind. The conscious mind is the mind that you are using. But listen to me now. But you understand that 90% of what you do is done by the subconscious mind. 90% of what you do on a daily basis is done by the subconscious mind. 90%. Only 10% is conscious. 90% is subconscious. I'm going to give you a very good illustration here. Remember the first time that you were learning to drive your car? The first day, the first moment, your first time to drive a car. You didn't want to talk to anyone. There was no time even to close the window. No time even to answer the phone. Even the person sitting next to you, you didn't even want to see anyone close to you in that car. Because your conscious mind is actively involved and you don't want it to be disturbed. Because it's information that was foreign, and it is coming into your conscious mind for the very first time. So high levels of concentration are needed. You are there, hands on. And you can feel it actually when you go back in the evening to sleep. You can actually feel your hands that you were holding something. You were really driving. And the car itself, it will be left parked there, but it will know that today I've been driven. And as you continue driving, and you continue driving, and you continue driving, now you can close the window. You can increase the volume of the radio. You can pick your phone. Whilst you are talking, you are talking to somebody, but you know exactly when to apply brakes. It is no longer your conscious mind that's driving the car. It is now your subconscious. So you can be on the phone for the next 400 kilometers, stopping where you're supposed to stop, observing every traffic light that you see. But at the same time, your conversation is consistent. Which means your conscious mind is on the phone, but your subconscious mind is driving you home. But how does that happen? Information has to be given to the conscious mind, first and foremost. The conscious mind is the reception area that welcomes every guest that comes. By guest, I'm talking about information. Be careful of the voice that you choose to listen to. Remember, we are still on the same point. So when information is given to you, it is given to your conscious mind. And when it is given to your conscious mind, it doesn't stay in your conscious mind. You see, the first time you heard about 1+1, it was the most difficult equation. The more you think about it, the more you think about it. Every time you think about something, you think about it. It is believed that everything that you repeatedly think over and over and over and over again, it is imprinted in your conscious mind. It leaves a mark in your mind. In your brain. Let's talk about the brain. Okay, we're talking about them. It leaves a mark, let's say, in your conscious mind. The more you think about, 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 the more you think about it, it becomes part of you. It becomes part of you. It becomes part of you. That's why there's a solution in the Word of God that says, let the poor say, I'm rich. And let the weak say, I'm strong. The weak has to learn to say that he is strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. He is not strong, but let him say, I am strong. It's not allowed to confess what it is. He say, let the weak say, I am strong. Let him say, I am strong. Let him say, I am strong. Which means strength has to be conceived. It has to be conceived. Money should become a subject that you always talk about, whether you don't have it. Talk about it. Talk about money. Oh, Jesus. Oh, look at this. Information that is given to your mind, to your subconscious mind, when it stays long enough in your conscious mind, you always think about it, it will then become dense. It will become heavy. That information will develop weight. And for you to picture this very well, put your conscious mind up here and put your subconscious right here where your heart is. So when you have information in your conscious mind that you have kept long enough, it will then develop weight and then it drops into your subconscious mind. That's where it is now kept. That's where the savers are. You save information in your subconscious mind. And even in your subconscious mind, don't really try every time to memorize and to keep information in there. Your mind was not really designed to store information. It was designed for creativity. Anything that you see, whether it comes as a thought or an idea, have somewhere, write it down and create space in your mind for more information. It's for creativity, 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 creativity. Your brain, okay, we talk about the, your brain is never for storage. Your brain is not for storage, it's for creativity. So when you continue storing, you lose creativity. Transfer information, put it somewhere, and then your mind becomes active. You are not afraid to forget. But listen to me now. I'm talking about, yes, the brain, but the mind is the function of the brain. The mind is the function of the brain. And the brain functions in two dimensions, the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. What you had got into your conscious mind, and then once it was kept, if you keep it long enough, it is then dropped into your subconscious. Though you can't remember it anymore, but your subconscious can remember it. Listen to me now. From the day that you were born, there was information, most of it was wrong, waiting for you, seeking for a place in your mind, in your heart. Because it was known from the beginning that it is only out of your mind that the issues of life will flow out of. The day you were born, people came to make contributions. The first donation that you received was information. You were born, and people came to you, they were talking about you. Not always to you, but about you. In the presence of your mind, conscious mind. And you have been hearing words about poverty, 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 poverty. And information was given to you by relatives that this is our lifestyle. We are born like this and we die like this. And it was getting into your conscious mind, that we are poor, we are broke, we are poor, we are broke, we are poor, we are broke. Because you were surrounded with that kind of information. And people were ready to give it to you. Because that's the same way that they were brought up as well. So they are giving you information about how you are going to fail in life. You are getting information, not just from people, but you are getting, extracting information from your environment. Where you were born matters. Your environment. Who was the most successful person in that village? And that person became your standard. That person became the definition of success. Whether he had a wheelbarrow, whether it was a bicycle, if that was the most successful person in that community, it means that then became your role model. Which means it's information also that is coming to you through words and through observation. You are hearing and you are seeing, hearing and observing. Your environment is bringing you down. You are already conditioned for poverty from the day that you were born. The first thing that you saw when you opened your eyes entered into your mind. That thing that you saw and the word that you heard became your concept of life and prosperity. What were they saying as you were growing up? What were they doing? What were they cooking? How were they cooking it? What were they putting on? And you were there observing. And every information was collected from people, from places, from activities, events, into your conscious mind. When it is kept in your conscious mind long enough, it will then have to be dropped into your subconscious mind. And once it enters there, the process of poverty creation has been activated. Right there, here. I'll tell you why I'm talking about this. Because he's saying, guard your mind, guard your brain, guard your understanding, guard your thoughts. For out of your thinking comes out the issues of life. Remember, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Thinketh in his heart. Thinketh. There is thinking that is done by the heart, the mind. When he talks about thinking by your heart, he's talking about the subconscious. You are a product of the subconscious mind. What you think in your subconscious mind is what you are, what you become. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. Even that day when God said to Abraham, look to the west, east, south, and so on, as far as you can see, I'll give you. He was talking about the mind, the power of the mind. Can you conceive it? As far as you can, it wasn't a physical gesture. As far as you can think, I'll give it to you. Imagine it. Think about it. I'll give it to you. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. So here is where the problem is coming from. Here. Here. Issues of life are from here. Issues of life. Issues of life. Issues of life. Anything that concerns life, whether it's what, it's money, it's marriage, whatever, it's business, issues of life, they are from your subconscious mind. And this is the picture that I want you to see, the picture that I want you to see, very important, the picture that I want you to have in your mind right now. Your mind, the mind that is aware of your environment, your active right now, your conscious mind. I want to say something here. Your conscious mind is like the boss. Your subconscious mind is like the servant. Servant, servant, servant. And your subconscious mind is employed by your conscious mind to work for it and to produce every demand per request. How do I explain this? Your conscious mind is the boss. Your subconscious mind is the servant. And this is what happens. I've talked to many people, many doctors. I've been asking them a question. I said, why is it that if you have cancer and then you don't know that you have it, it's a different cancer than when you are told that you have it. It becomes much more powerful than it was before. knowing it and not knowing it. I'm not saying it will not kill you, but I'm saying it will act much faster when you know that you have it than when you are not aware that you have it. Which means what really is killing you there is not the disease. It is your knowledge of what you have. Knowing that you are carrying something that is capable of killing you is what really kills a person. So, if poverty is in the subconscious mind here, how do we treat it? I like giving you very good illustration, very straightforward, not difficult to understand. If there's a problem in your kidney, any treatment or any medication that you take should have a way of getting to the kidney. If there is a disease in your blood, whatever we give to you has to, I don't care the kind of medication, it will still has to find its way into your blood where the problem is. If it is an eye problem, ear problem, whatever it is, if it's a medication, if as long as it is a medication, it has to finally find its way to where the problem is. So if poverty is in the mind, the medication should find its way right into the mind where the problem is. Which means giving money to the poor, it will never set them free. Because the problem is never in their pocket, it is in their mind. Listen to me now. Money to the poor, money to the poor is never a solution to their poverty. Unless if the poverty was located in their pockets, in their bank accounts, identify where their poverty is. And any injection, any treatment has to find its way to exactly where their poverty is coming from. If you don't address the mind of the poor, you haven't addressed their condition. But obviously, the poor, they will never prefer anything that will address their mind. They would want cash. Let me have cash. That's why it is so easy for a poor person to walk into your office, no matter how busy you are. He's never going to observe what you're doing. He's never going to admire your work. He's waiting for that money that he has come for. Let me have money. The best that you can do to help the poor, it is not really to give them money. Give them an opportunity to earn it. Give them an opportunity to qualify themselves for it. Which means creating a job for them. If a person comes to your house and is saying, please, I'm so stranded, this is month end, and I need just $300 from you, please help me, please, and he's crying. You should be open enough to say, so what can you do here that will qualify you for the $300? Because I cannot give you $300 and then employ another person to come and cut the grass. That doesn't require a lot of qualifications. So giving to the poor is not all about giving them money. Give them something to do that will then give them money. That's the best that you can give to the poor. Make him qualify for the money that he's asking for. Give him a job. give him a job. Most of them, they will not even be ready to work for you. They don't want to work. They want money. They are so busy. Their schedule is so tight. Because the moment you say you don't have it, he has got a list already of people that he is supposed to go and see. Yes. So compare the two people. If somebody comes and he says, can I have money, and you give him money. Somebody comes and says, can I have money, and then you give him a job. The one that you give money will thank you the most. If you give him a job, he's not really going to thank you much, because he has worked for it. You have to deserve everything that flows into your life. You have to deserve it. You have to deserve it. Okay, my issue here, listen to me. This is where the problem is starting from. Your mind, your conscious mind, if it is given information and you keep it, whether the information is wrong or the information is right, if you keep it in your conscious mind, it will eventually get into your subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is not as intelligent as your conscious mind. Your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between wrong information and right information. That is why when the doctor tells you that you are sick and you are not sick, you become sick. It is information given to your conscious mind, and then because it is heavy tidings, it then drops into your subconscious mind. Then that information becomes an instruction from the boss to a servant. And the servant will then condition the body to bring about the pain that was requested by the boss. Listen to me now, please. You can get sick simply by being told that you are sick. Let the pilot make an announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a terrible situation here. We are not quite sure whether we are going to be able to land. I'm not saying let him break any of the gadgets. No, everything is intact. There is no fault. I'm talking about simply making an announcement. Immediately, there is a fault on the aircraft. You will not sleep. You will not order a meal. Fear, all of a sudden, it grips you. Everything about you changes. The way you think, the way you reason, the way you see life changes. Simply because, not of a fault, a lie, it's an announcement. Information given to your conscious mind, and then it gets into your subconscious. And your subconscious, because it's a slave, it will begin to run around your entire body to produce the fear that is required. Please listen to what I'm saying here. Listen to what I'm saying here. If you were told that you are poor. The same way that a doctor might have told you that you are sick and you are not sick, if you are told that you are broke, you are poor and you are not poor, and you allow it to set in your mind, and then once it is dropped into your subconscious mind, it is given to a servant. I'm sick. This disease, I'm sick. The more you keep on saying it, you see, remember what the word of God says. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. You keep on saying it, keep on saying it, keep on saying it. He's not just talking about one person in another mouth, a separate mouth. Even your own mouth, if you can repeat it three times, four times, five times, you keep on saying it. It sets in your mind. It's now imprinted in your conscious mind. And then it will then be dropped into your subconscious. It's given to a slave who is there to work, to bring about any resolution from the boss. If you say you are sick, you are sick, you are sick, and then it gets into your subconscious mind, then your body is conditioned to produce any request from the conscious mind. There has to be pain. There has to be pain. I'm programmed. I'm being sent. I've been given an order by the conscious mind to produce pain. To produce pain. Your subconscious mind is a slave. A slave. He's a slave. He waits there ready to take any information from your conscious mind, no matter how wrong. The subconscious is not learned. He cannot discern the difference between a lie from the doctor and the truth. Any information given to the subconscious, no matter how wrong, it will work towards it to achieve it. I once said it, let me repeat it again. I like it because I know we've got a lot of doctors here. The placebo effect. Placebo effect. They is not a medication. They know you are sick. And they don't have a proper medication for your condition. But you are sick, and they know that you, if we don't give it to you, you need just something. And they can pick anything. It's just, maybe it's just water and sugar. They must never give it to you to drink. They have to put it in an injection. Something painful has to be used. Because you are there, ready to receive anything that is going to make you well. There are medications, tablets, that are just nothing but a chalk from the classroom. They will take it, design it like a pill, and paint it, whether blue or red or what. And they give it to you, and then you take it. It is believed by those in the medical field that 40% of the people, they recovered. They recovered. I'm telling you. You see, it's not all about just taking medication. They have a placebo surgery. Placebo surgery, where they have to really open you up. It's open and close. They prepare you for the for the procedure. Everything, you see them pushing trolleys and so on and so on. They are putting on their regalia, and everyone is getting ready, and then they inject you and you faint. They open you up and they close you. They don't remove anything. And 40% of the people recovered. It's happening in the medical field. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. So where is the healing coming from? You see, the problem, you see, what is happening? Because it's always the issues of life are never from the hospital. They are from the subconscious mind. the issues of life. You see, listen to me now. You see, if you can get just to cheat, the doctors will tell you this. If you can cheat the mind into thinking that it has received a medication, if you can cheat, then that information from the conscious mind is given to the slave, to the servant. And the subconscious mind will then condition the body to bring about the healing. Listen, this is a man who is still sick. There is no treatment for his condition. All that they did was to make the conscious mind to believe that you have received something. And then that information, no matter how incorrect it is, as long as it is given to the worker, the subconscious mind, then it gets into the subconscious mind. This guy knows how to run around and produce every demand. How are you feeling? Much better this morning. But they can never tell you this. It's not allowed. So, I'm giving you practical examples so that you know where your poverty is coming from. There is a worker already inside of you working towards achieving poverty, because it is information given to him by your conscious mind. You have told yourself that you are poor, you are broke. What brought me to where I am today? Listen to my tapes from the day I started preaching. I never supported poverty even for once. Never. 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 Never, 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 never. No fana ku ramba kuti handi pere. Kuti handi choboke. Vakakuseka vaudze kuti ndiri mvura yemuchimbuzi. Okay, one day I end up saying, "We don't need to talk about Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do not talk shit and do not mock. So, Sarah Musina. Ha 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 ha.